This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
It is now time for the crime report. It's sponsored by the Suffolk Crime Stoppers. 1-800-220-TIPS. That's 220-8470. Several all calls are kept anonymous and a monetary reward issued in some cases of up to $5,000 for info that will lead to an arrest. Joseph Jacqueline, retired NYPD sergeant, former commanding officer, by the way, the Bronx Cold Case Squad, current adjunct professor at John Jay, author of the bestseller, The Criminal Investigative Function, A Guide for New Investigators, edition number 3. Let's not forget a highly decorated member of the NYPD in his day, including the Department Medal of Valor, the aforementioned Joseph Jacqueline. How are you, sir?
Jay, how are you?
I'm doing okay. It was a tough week, very tough week, when you lose one of our own, Joe, and that and Brian Simonson, yeah, happened to be a Calverton resident from way back, and just a tough one. Friendly fire, the whole thing at the cell phone store, just a tough way to go with so many rounds of shots being fired. It's a tough case.
Yeah, it's a terrible case. My heart goes out to the family and the NYPD family. We never want to see any officers get injured or hurt, or especially killed. This is, this one is even a little bit harder to swallow than any other ones. The issue it comes down to is just goes to show you that, you know, what cops face in the respect that, you know, you're rushing into these things. You stop doing whatever you're doing and you go to where the danger is. And, you know, unfortunately, this one unfolded this way. No fault of anybody else other than the perpetrator himself, who tried to rob this place with a fake gun. Then challenge the officers. I guess, you know, he might have been, you know, doing one of these suicide by cop bits or whatever he was trying to do, because he had a gun that couldn't fire, but he was still pulling the trigger. And, you know, the cops don't know if the gun just jammed and he's going to, you know, try to clear it and start firing. So they had to do what they had to do. And it's just unfortunate what happened here.
It really is. Officer Simonson, Joe, he wasn't wearing a vest at all on this, so we heard, huh?
Well, that's what the reports are saying, that he didn't have a vest on. I don't think the commissioner has confirmed that or denied it. But it's just a terrible situation, because he did get shot in the chest, and then everybody will wonder that if he had it, would he survive? But, you know, we could play those kind of games all day long. But the issue that comes down to is nothing, unfortunately, is going to bring him back. And, you know, whatever lessons that need to be learned from this, I'm sure that the police department is going to pick it apart, create some sort of training, some sort of procedures and what have you, just to try to avoid this again. But, you know, just think about the size of the NYPD and what they actually do. I mean, a friendly fire incident is extremely rare. But when it does happen, it stings a little bit more.
No question. I was just going to bring that up, Joe. They said I forgot the date of the last one regarding something of this nature. That's how rare this is, folks, this friendly fire deal. So it was way back in time, though, Joe, right?
Yes. Yeah, the last time I could even remember was when I was like a rookie cop in 1992 or 1993 an officer was shot on a train platform in transit. But he was in plain clothes too. You know, that's so that, you know, you have that's one of the issues here. Yes, you have somebody at the scene of an act of robbery, and they are in street clothes or suit and tie or whatever, what have you. So it's not a uniform thing, but. You know, listen, there's lessons to be learned from every one of these incidents, and, you know, they'll pick this one apart, and then they'll try to go. Just think about the surveillance cameras that they have. They know exactly what happened. I mean, you're in one of these cell phone stores, which are often targets of robbers, so the surveillance equipment there, I'm sure, is pretty good, but it happens like on a strip where there's a lot of commercial establishments, so they have video of, what happened outside and what happened inside.
And a fake gun. That's what the element of this all is. A fake gun carried by this career criminal, by the way. A rap sheet beyond. I just wish we have so much tech involved right now as far as forensics and everything else. I know it's easy to be armchairs quarterback today, but I just wish they had the tech involved where they could, you know, figure out, point something to a weapon as far as the criminal is concerned and to kind of detect if it's real or not real. Listen, I know I'm reaching here, but boy, wouldn't that be great.
Well, I mean, eventually, we could probably, maybe we will see it in our lifetime where they have this kind of ability, but until our district attorneys and our judges do what they're supposed to do, I mean, how many times has this guy been arrested for crimes and violent crimes to boot, and he's still running around the street robbing places? You know what, Jay, sometimes the new technology wouldn't matter if we just put people behind bars who are supposed to be behind bars. And stop playing around with this, you know, political football of criminal justice reform and letting people out early and being less harsh, whatever they want to call it, on sentencing. And people like this guy who's been arrested dozens of times for all sorts of issues, you know, put them in prison like they're supposed to be, and we wouldn't probably be talking about this today.
I throw away the key regarding this guy, no question.
Yeah, and I think
Joe,
a
tough one. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the commissioner kind of like, you know, leaned towards that when he started off his statement with a career criminal tonight. You know, I mean, so we if you notice, they haven't really talked about the extent of his career criminal activity, but it's quite extensive from what I've learned.
Yes, you know, it's just a shame because this is a guy who should not be out there in society, as you mentioned. You know, he's just it's just way too much baggage. You know, we have to do something. And you know what? Let's just I don't want to get into the whole pot thing again, legalizing it. But, you know, we just have so many faux pas in this state that need to be corrected, whether it's regarding crime, whether it's regarding drugs, housing, hardened criminals. We have to do a better job. I don't know if we'll ever see it in our lifetime as far as correcting a system that is out of whack completely, Joe. Really is.
Yeah. It might be beyond repair. It really might be beyond repair. I mean, it seems to be our New York politicians are focused on a lot more other things than, you know, basically getting reelected or aspirations for president, you know, including that governor and the mayor, where they think that they're going to be on the national stage instead. But, you know, maybe their policies don't work in many of the states they take polls, so they're in for a tough haul.
It's a tough one, really is. All right, we move on as Detective Brian Simonson will be laid. Officer Brian Simonson will be laid to rest the next week. Joe Jackal on the crime row. Let's move to this this other horrific story of this MS-13 gang member with a plea of guilt yesterday in court. It's unbelievable. Sexually abusing a 2-year-old, believe it or not, and stabbing 2 women. And by the way, all on the same night from 2 years ago, this Tommy Alvarado Ventura arrested and now charged. By the way, this guy is in this country, was in this country illegally. He was deported, Joe, not once, not twice. But 4 times. I mean, if this doesn't demonstrate, if this isn't the template for weakness as far as border security, I mean, I don't know what is. A 4-time individual who was deported and came back. How many times have we talked about this, you and I, countless politicians on this program, unaccompanied minors? You know, it makes you sick. It really does. A 2-year-old.
Yeah, and he's older for a gang member too. I mean, he's in his, you know, 33 or 34. So, you know, it just goes to show you that these guys who do survive whatever, they continue on in this kind of life. They don't age out. They keep on doing the thing. But the attacks on the child, you know, just horrific. And you know, you can, if you saw Madeline Singleton there, I mean, she talked about this to him. I mean, you can see like the disgust in her face. That we only know just that he did this. We don't know exactly what he did. And then the attacks on the women. I mean, he not only did he slash her, but he actually put the knife in one of the women's mouth and cut her open from the inside out. So, I mean, this is the kind of people that you got running around. I mean, And I don't remember, quite frankly, this whole case. It was about a year ago that it broke. I mean, now we're hearing about the sentence, but or the conviction. But I mean, geez. And it, you know, once again, this should be covered in all sorts of media and all, but it's not. It's just not, because I guess, you know, there's a bigger fish to fry, so to speak, with the media and what they want to do with this stuff. And I understand that it's, you know, people say, well, this is an isolated incident. But Long Island has happened that they have a series of these isolated incidents. It just seems to be, like, you know, way too many.
It is. And you know something? We don't need a border wall. I mean, send this to Nancy Pelosi, for crying out loud. You know, it's unclear how this guy was able to re-enter this country four times. But a source is saying at least one of those times, Joe, he entered from Mexico into Texas. But we don't need a border wall. You know, hey, I'm going to give you the $1.4 billion for 55 miles, even though I wanted 200 miles. But we don't need a wall. You know, I mean, if this isn't a prime example of what is wrong with this country over past administrations, I don't know what is. I really don't.
You know, the other question I got, though, Jay, is like, all right, so this guy enters the country four times, and he chooses Long Island as his place, you know? I mean, think about it. If he comes in from Texas, he's got to go from Texas all the way to Long Island. I haven't even done that trip yet. You know, I mean, why Long Island? Why is Long Island the draw for these guys? I don't know.
The communities, the communities. We know that you know, we know what's happened in past instances in Brentwood and Central Islip. It's a haven, and that's what it is. It's a haven, and quite frankly, you know, we were very lax. You and I both know this, Joe. We've spoken to people on this. We were very lax as far as enforcement and everything else, as far as gangs were concerned. Remember, disbanded way back. You know, that's a whole nother caveat to this story as far as the local aspect of it. Disbanded the task forces. We've spoken about this before. And these guys know this is a haven here. A haven. And not only in Suffolk, Nassau as well. You're going to Hempstead and Freeport, you know.
Right. Well, it just goes to show you the infrastructure that they actually have, that these guys are willing to come back into the country and come straight back to Long Island. So that's kind of what I was referring to, is that, you know, this situation has gotten better, but the issue that comes down to is the infrastructure that this MS-13 gang has here on Long Island, that they continue to draw even if they're crossing the border from Mexico, going all the way to Long Island. That is a huge problem.
And it continues to be, and that's why, you know, we can't pump out our chests all the time and say to the public that we have the gang on the run. We have MS-13 on the run. And it ain't happening on my watch. Really. Okay? Be careful. Be careful how you kind of declare that, sir. Talking about the DA, of course.
Yeah.
Stop with the nonsense all the time. Do the job. Do your job. Joe Jacklow on the crime report. Let's go to West. I tell you, it gets me going. School guards in West Babylon. Thank goodness. Listen, we'll soon be allowed to carry guns while on duty. They passed the resolution authorizing it, Joe, to begin in the fall. Now, you've had several other districts. In Suffolk, I do believe Miller Place and Hopog have already approved armed security guards. I do believe there's one town in Nassau, I think it's Massapequa, off the top of my head. They're the other one. And, of course, the decision for West Babylon, made a couple of days prior to the Valentine's massacre that killed 17 last year at a high school, of course, down in Parkland, Florida. The anniversary yesterday, of course. You know, quite frankly, this should be in every school, as far as I'm concerned. You could forget, you know, these rave apps and everything else that we've spoken about. You know, the gimmickry involved, pressing a button and at a desk. You know what? You only have 5 minutes to get it done. And I've said this all along, I'm sorry. You have to have guards in the schools. You have to. And let them carry, as far as I'm concerned. West Babylon with the right decision here, at least in my opinion.
Well, like I said, they're going to roll this out slowly. I think they're going to see how it goes. You just hope that they have people that are, you know, also when you're hiring people, you know, you get what you pay for. So we know all about that. And, you know, and listen, I think that if anything is better than what we were doing, which is basically nothing. I think we need to focus on some physical security issues too, like front door locks and unbreakable glass and the like, so that people can't force their way in even when they have been denied access, because we've seen that happen too. So you know, the issue that it comes down to is we want to make our places, you know, less of a place to go shoot people. That's basically, we're trying to harden the target. That's basically the word I'm looking for. So anything could be better than what we're doing, Jay.
And Joe, you know, it's a good point. Let's make sure that these guards, if they're hired, they're not 80 years old. You know, they're not. This isn't like a retirement job, reading People magazine on the side, taking a snooze. You know, let's get some competent folks in. Yeah, let's get their feet on the desk. You know, come on. Let's get some competency regarding this. Let's not just make it so that we just call them a guard carrying, you know, a piece. You know, let's make it of competent nature here. We're going to do this. Let's do it the right way. You know what? I'm for it, and I hope every school on Long Island gets with it. I'm not interested on these ridiculous phone apps, pressing a button this way, that way. You want to put metal detectors in, I think you still have to. Clear backpacks, great. You must have people within the perimeter of the school, within the school itself. I'm sorry. It definitely, to me, will pose a threat as far as anybody thinking of this stuff. So, anyway, let's see what happens the rest of the way. Joe Jacklin, of course, crime report. Horrible story this past week. How about the stolen SUV? Another gang member, this Narik Belford, Joe. I tell you, a tough one there. And a couple in their 70s coming home from dining with friends, just about to go into their complex, making the turn. This guy going at an excessive amount of speed, split the Weingarten's car in half, killing them. And also, the gang member's brother killed in there. That was a terrible story here.
Yeah, it was a little bit, I think, of a police chase involved here with a stolen car. You know, these guys decided to take off. You know, the issue it comes down to, I want to see charges upgraded from, you know, grand theft to, felony murder. You know, this is what I'd like to see, right? You cause the death of somebody when they act commission of a felony. This is why they made murder third degree in New York, so that you can, you know, in situations like this, you can charge them. And hey, listen, if we don't charge murder third degree in this case, you know, then you kind of open yourself up to other bad behaviors. I mean, this is the time that we have to get a little tough with situations like this. You want to be tough on situation specifics? Well, here's one, right? You steal a car, you kill an elderly couple who are coming home. I mean, that's what it's for. Enough's enough already.
Terrible thing. That was quite a scene. It really was. I mean, who would have thunk it? You're out to dinner with friends, and your life ends. You never know, folks. I'll tell you, you count your lucky stars every day, I always say. Joe Jacalone, the crime report. Joe, I'm going to jump around here. You know, this. You know the case regarding Jussie Smollett? The guy in Empire. And now, you know, it came out yesterday because I guess there are a lot of doubters out there as far as when these stories break. And I know that Smollett sat down with Good Morning America a couple of days ago. He answered some questions. Now it comes out. You know, they have the video. They see two guys. You know, you can't really determine characteristics regarding these guys. But apparently, cops out in that area in Illinois, might have corralled these guys and asked questions and everything else. Then you get a story last night that broke that's saying maybe Smollett staged the whole thing.
Yes.
And that's setting off another alarm here. I mean, this is a crazy story if that's true. I mean, would I be surprised? Probably not.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've seen this, you know, kind of things go down. Well, listen, it was also a fight between the cell phone records because he had made statements that he was on the phone with his manager at the time of the attack. And you know, between the phone in his hand and the sandwiches in his other hand, he was able to fight off two attackers. That's basically what the story is. But what happens is, you know, he kind of maybe misstepped a little bit. If this is, the Chicago Police Department last night issued a statement saying that there's no truth to it, that the, you know, that this is, that the police are handling this as a hoax. So it's been going back and forth. But here's the thing, you know, major news agencies, this isn't like some guy in his mother's basement, you know, sending out this, this information. This was getting leaked to major news agencies, like ABC News had put it out. I mean, NBC News had put it out. So this is, you know, let's put it this way. If this is a hoax, Jay, he set back the LGBT community, and, you know, I just from, and listen, he's running out, he's calling people racist and everything else. So he's, if this is all made up, he's created himself quite a hole. And you know what? He used Good Morning America to do it, and he put all those folks in a bad spot, too. Let's put it this way. A couple of days ago, I had even sent out a tweet, and I had put it out and said, you know, just if I'm the police in this case, he doesn't want to give me the cell phone records, I just get the cell phone records anyway. But apparently it seems like they had already done that. And I think they waited for him to go on Good Morning America to see what else he had to say and see if anything, because the next day, right after GMA, they picked up these two guys. And from what the news reports are saying, that these two guys are actually actors on the set with him on Empire. So he said he didn't know who these people were. He said that they put a noose around his neck, all this other stuff. You know, so let's put it this way. There's a lot of holes in the story right now. But, well, let's wait for the official report. Just like all the celebrities, just like all the politicians who jumped on this, you know, all the new presidential candidates, you know, talked about, you know, the lynching, a 21st century lynching and everything else. Like, let's just wait for all the facts to come out. I mean, nobody waits anymore to see exactly what happened, because, you know, who would lie about something like this? Well, we've already seen that happen. But a lot of people like to jump to conclusions and jump to different things just because somebody, you know, says something. And you know, remember the same thing happened with the Native American thing and the kids with the MAGA hats, whatever. That all turned out to be false, too. But that was a big, you know, big uproar, too. People just, this social media, Jay, has become just an awful cesspool. And, you know, that's the bottom line on this.
Two things, Joe. I find it odd. You know, the guy's just walking the street talking to his manager, gets jumped, cell phone's on, drops to the ground. Supposedly, folks, the manager hears the entire confrontation. The other thing is, if this happened to anyone, I'm sorry, if this happened to anyone, wouldn't you want to turn over your cell phone to at least corroborate your story in some sort of fashion? I mean, why balk at turning over your cell phone? I don't care. You have pictures. Who cares? You're trying to capture two guys that created an act of violence beyond upon you, and you don't want the authorities to at least try and help the case? You got to give the cell phone. That, to me, also is a flag. I'm sorry. Hand it over.
Yeah, that was a flag, and the other issue is that, you know, he still left the rope around his neck, you know, 30 minutes later, whatever this next, because he said he wanted to see the police to see it, you know. That's unusual. I think if anybody was attacked like that, they would have taken that off for sure. I mean, you can not throw it away, but I don't know if I would have left it around my neck. And you know what? Listen, there's a lot of issues here. Let the police go through their, you know, their investigation, and they'll definitely come out with something. It's just another one of those things that it would be a huge disappointment that if this is all made up.
Real quick one. It's an important one. Last one, because of the clock. The thing in the Roosevelt schools, the picture, the collage. You know, that's a tough one with three teachers.
Yeah.
On leave because of this. What do we know anymore? The nooses, those who are trying to remember the nooses,
yeah,
around
the
necks.
In the collage. I can't even imagine what people are thinking, especially, you know, educators. Jay, I scratched my head when I said, you look at this and you just say, like, how foolish can you be? And, you know, and we don't want these people anywhere near our kids teaching them. So, let the Department of Education, you know, sort this one out. I doubt we'll ever hear the end of it. You know, it will just go away, just like every other story they don't want to talk about in the media. It will just die off and just go away. But,
no question, but
it's just ridiculous.
Tough one. Joe Jacklin, of course, the crime report. Joseph, great stuff as always. A ton of stuff on the plate. Tough one. Tough week. It really was.
Yeah.
The loss of a cop. You don't hear about it, folks, a lot in the city. They do it right. Friendly fire, the whole thing here. Tough one, really is. And a Long Island guy to boot. We'll talk again soon, sir.
You got it, Jay. Have a good weekend.